All right, let's see here. Juggling all the things, letting people in, and making sure I can see. So Lori said, what is the best time to take flipping 50 fiber boost? Kind of depends on if you're using it just because you don't hit that fiber mark, or if you're using it more to stabilize blood sugar. It's probably going to do it no matter what. But if you look at meals and find they don't have a lot of fiber in them for some reason, you could take it with your meals, or you could take it between at a point where if you track your energy, even just thinking, where's my energy stable and where do I have a dip? If, for instance, like a lot of people might have a dip between 2 and 4 in the afternoon, 1 and 3 for others, depends a little probably what time you get up in the morning. You want to head it off at the pass. So if I were having somebody snack strategically, I might have them make sure they've got something at 1. If we don't relocate lunch somehow, might have a snack at 1 or 2 if we know they hit this crash around 3. So we're going to prevent it from happening. So similarly, if you're drinking fiber boost and you're putting it into, a flavored drink or even just stirring it into water, you could do it like that to help prevent that crash from happening, knowing my blood sugar tends to dip. If you've got information from a CGM, that's a way to help you look at it. If you're having it just all by itself and you're having, so the old product was Fiber Boost. The new one is the daily. It's flavored. And so it's probably not one you want to add to a smoothie. But if you were adding the old one or any other kind of fiber that has no flavor in it, you can put it in a smoothie and just that's your source of fiber, then supporting the fat, the protein. And remember, the combination of fiber and protein really together kill cravings best. So, again, go back to meals. If you're a little bit lower in fiber than you wanted to, you could drink it right before a meal. If you're appetite is out of control, that might be another option, not just a glass of water before, but with the fiber. And then, or you could put it in a smoothie if you want to do that and the flavor was conducive to it. Leslie says, only partway through the current podcast on boosting metabolism. Question is, what should I eat before working out and how much time before the workout? So, in part, we have to volley a little bit with that. So, depending on how much time do you have before? So, if you're one of those people getting up in the morning and you're working out early, there's not a lot of time. It's not like you can plan ahead. But you think of it this way, the closer to that workout time, the closer to this is zero or go time, the less you're going to eat, right? So, you can't clear it out of the gut if you have it too close to the workout. And if it's sitting in the gut, it is competing with circulation to deliver oxygen to working muscles. So you're going to compromise the digestion. It's not going to break down. It's probably going to sit there like a rock. And you're going to compromise the oxygen delivery to the muscles both. So it's not a great case in either way. Nobody wins, everybody loses. So the closer you are to a workout, the easier to digest whatever it is you're going to have needs to be. We all have a slightly different toleration level. Some people can eat a piece of pizza while they're running. I'm not those people. But when you're conditioned to eating, generally you're able to eat a little bit more. But if you're just used to, I've sworn off food, I used to do this empty and I felt better or thought I did, you have to wean yourself into it, just like we would wean ourselves out of something. So start little, start small, and just start testing. Do I feel better? So I'm trying to be inclusive for anybody who's listening. But I would suggest that you look at the activity. And my answer in the past might have been slightly different, much more skewed to this. When you're doing high intensity interval training, your body really can't use much other than carbohydrate. It's not good at switching to, I'm going to grab protein and break that into fuel, or I'm going to use fat for fuel. It just won't. So you want to have something that's easily broken down, easily consumed, and is not going to stay, but is going to right away be contributing to blood sugar. So imagine kind of an amplified situation if you were a runner, endurance runner, or ever have been. You know, they drink goo and packets of basically of sugar and frosting. And that's kind of what it is, because once your body needs that, it needs the immediate, I need it to get in now. I'm hitting a wall and I'm working so hard. I can't do anything else. I can't do two jobs. I can only do this one. So easier to digest, not frosting, please, right? So not that. But you do want to come back and say maybe just half a banana with a smear of nut butter. So a little higher in carbohydrate, but a little bit of fat. There's negligible protein in that as well. It's not really there to be a part of your protein, but that would be an easy to digest, consume type of thing, and not a lot. But it's going to be some calories to elevate your blood sugar level, get you going, keep you from being hungry. You could have a simple shake, we call it, or so we're talking just half of a glass. We're not saying this is a full protein meal, but you have the protein and you have unsweetened almond milk. So just the liquid is going to digest and break down really easily because it already is. There's a difference between that simple shake that you would have that digests fairly easily and gets out of your gut, and the one you'd have after, where we do want fat and fiber and protein in it. We don't want those things prior because we want them clearing out of the gut. If you have that smoothie, say an hour before, you probably be better off and you'll be fine. But if you were going to have it right before, you don't want to have high fiber and drop in a quarter of an avocado because that's probably going to stick in your gut, you know, which is great for other times when you want satiety and fullness to last you for a few hours. But that's not what you're after prior to exercise. You're just after a spark to light the fire so that your body burns more fat. And it will have greater energy expenditure when you're eating something. So, based on the research I've shared with Abby Smith Ryan, and her research, I think came out maybe 23 or 24, and she started looking at women in like perimenopause and just younger women as well, and whether it mattered if they were cycling or not to their performance level, and it really didn't. And looking at postmenopausal women, and so sometimes when you're really savvy and you're doing research, you set it up so that you could be looking at two different things and writing up two different things afterward because you've gotten the expense of getting all the subjects and going through it. And so sometimes this is what happens, and it's why I'm layering them in. She found that women who are postmenopausal, we don't have a problem. And even women who are younger women still cycling, there's not really a need to cycle workouts. Your performance doesn't suffer, but recovery does. So, what she found with peri-postmenopausal women is that we can preserve our lean muscle mass better when we have a little protein before the workout. And it's not the first thing that we would think of because of the reasons I said before, say going for so some kind of cardio workout, or whether it's interval training or it's a longer hike. You know, a lot of people would not consider protein to be the thing. It would be a higher carb. But for those reasons, we don't need a ton of protein. But if you put in 12 to 15 grams, we do at least preserve the muscle, because if we don't have enough fuel on board, and in many cases, women don't, we're cutting corners, we think we're eating a lot or enough, and we're really kind of under eating our own need. And so when we do that for long periods of time, our metabolism does slow, kind of to our own fault. And we've kind of cause that. So the way to get by that is gradually start increasing more calories. Start feeding your system. If underdoing it isn't working, it's a sign your body is just under stress, thinks you're starving it, and or that something is, and it's dangerous and it needs to preserve and hold on to fat. So if you want to let go of it, sometimes we have to nurture a little bit better and just bump the calories up and just test to see if that works. So pre-exercise, I would encourage you to do a little bit of protein, especially for those of you who are one, struggling to gain lean muscle mass. You're not gaining and you feel like you should be. I do think that we have to remind ourselves maintaining, sustaining our muscle mass and not losing it. That is still a win. Most people not doing anything are losing 3 to 8% a decade. So if you're not losing, you're maintaining, you're still doing something good. And if you're not, getting great sleep and eating enough protein, doing resistance training and recovering between, if any of those are faltering a little bit, you're probably going to struggle to gain, and you may need supplementation to help you a little bit. The key piece is the resistance training, hands down. It's by far the number one thing. So a little bit of protein, even before quote unquote cardio workouts. However, I would say, if you're going to go pound out, you're going to do jump squats and you're going to do maybe sprint intervals and really running, sprinting, you're shaking up your gut quite a bit. So you don't want to be go heavy on this. Two boiled eggs is about 12 grams of protein, and I realize that eggs are kind of off the sensitivity list for us until you test them because they can be one of those things that throw women off. But that's an example of amount. You could have, again, an easy protein shake is probably one of the easiest ways and fastest. Just a simple shake. It's easy to digest. The liquid is there. You've got it in. And then you still do need to have a full meal after. It's not like, oh, I can have a smaller meal now. Nope. You're going to now have the meal. This is just a pre-exercise snack. And then you're going to have that later. So something is better than nothing. That's kind of the first place on the continuum you want to think. And then what do you tolerate? Think about that. And then see if you can add a little bit of protein to what you're doing. The thing I would hesitate to add too close to any workout is fat, unless it was a really just a long, slow workout. You're gonna go get on your stand-up paddleboard and paddle across the lake, or you're gonna go on a hike that is not vigorous, not at altitude. And it's just a nice walk for you. Those would be things where you could probably get by with doing some nuts and seeds. Fat's not going to be a problem because you're going low enough level, but that's relative to you, right? So making sure it's a lower level, you can probably handle a little bit more food. Let me know if I left you with more questions, and that's probably a good thing. Lori, are we still filling out medical info? So you are still filling out medical info. So we are delivering the programming in the app, but you still have access to flipping50.com, where in your account, you can go to My Progress to record or to double check this is accurate. And realize, everybody, that that is beneficial for you. I know I've had sometimes people will write back and say, I did this last year. And I'm like, oh my gosh, if it was a whole year, let's be looking at that again. I'd like you to look at it every quarter just to make sure. Did anything change
I
with?
can't hear you. What's wrong?
Sorry for
Oh.
Okay. Not talking to me. Okay. All right. So keep yourself muted, everybody. What I want you to do is think about, your status in menopause changes and your status. If you are lab testing regularly, your meds might go up and down with your thyroid or cholesterol or blood pressure meds. And that just answering the questions will give you pause to say, oh, this changes things for me. I should pay attention to how I feel. Or suddenly maybe you're on a blood pressure med and you weren't before. You know, if you've got dizziness going from floor to standing, it will give you pause and reason to think. And this is a good prompt. If you're getting prompted to go and do it, I would always do that. Lacey says, can we talk about HRV? I believe the higher it is, the lower your stress. Correct. It's like kind of opposite of golf. We want this one to be good. I assume there's no normal across the board for everyone. How do we know what's a good number? So, yeah, it's a great question. And first, you want to look at, you know, what are you using? What's the tool and the tracker that you're using? So I've used many across the years. When I wrote "You Still Got It, Girl," you know, we still had the kind where it took a separate watch, a separate thing, and a heart rate monitor, and was just clunky and like another apparatus in my drawer. And you know, that went to 100, right? So if you're using a Fitbit or using a Garmin or you're using an Aura, it may be privy to what are the rules on that. So learn your device. If you're tracking it somewhere, learn what the device is doing and what it's telling you. So you have to read the instructions a little bit on that one to know what are the scores. But a lot of them also will color code it, which is very nice. You want to be in green probably most of the time. So look at number one, where do you normally ride? Where are you when you're really rested, like an on vacation at the end of a great weekend versus the end of a really high stress day where maybe you also did a workout, you know, and watch your differences. So get your own personal average, and that's really where I would suggest that you start. And also, I would do some personal logging. So if you have a way to do that in coordination with whatever device you're using, whatever app you're using, I would log how I feel. So I never would want you to give away all of your power to a tracker. I mean, it's another piece of data and valuable. But if, for instance, you feel great and you feel like, you know, I am ready for a workout and I'm feeling rested. I slept really well. My appetite is good. My cravings are not high, you know, and you have every other sign that you're ready, but your HRV is not great. Take it as a piece of data and then know who you are. For me, when I initially started doing it, I needed it because I was much more likely to work out regularly. No matter what, I was likely to follow the plan. I, at the time, was training for an Ironman. And so I was more likely to do that than to say, okay, wait, I can put that off. I'll recover another day and I'll do that run tomorrow. And maybe I'll just do the swim today because it's lighter and less stress. So I needed it. So that's for all of us to use, know yourself. You know, are you somebody who will push through it? If it's there and it's on the calendar, your HRV will probably be a little bit more valuable to you to make you say, slow down. You're not getting the results that you want. And then put together, how do I feel? What kind of, you know, energy do I have? What kind of mood do I have? How resilient am I when stressors come up? Am I responding or reacting? And those questions also leave clues when you ask yourself those. So start with just tracking on a regular basis, what is it? But also combine that with what's my how I feel in addition to your HRV. So, but you will have to look at your tracker, look at your device for what it's using and what its highs and lows are. So when I was scoring, you know, with can't tell you the brand name at this point, but you know, based on 100, it was relatively easy. You know, if I knew if my scores were, you know, in the low 90s or high 80s, you know, I was pretty good to go. But a lot of times I didn't see that, so it wasn't so good. Just bought Element for the first time. Is there a certain time of day it would be more beneficial? Should be taken alone or can it be taken with food? You can take it with food. I tend to suggest to people drink the majority of your water, your hydration happens outside of meals. You're just going to complete your drinking at meals so that you comfortably swallow and, consume your food. But we don't want to flood your body with a lot of liquid at a meal because it actually interferes with the digestion. So your hydration should happen between your meals and then just consume enough for getting through meals. So that said, I would rather see you put it at another time. Something I would suggest is that you're thinking about who are you in the middle of the night? And if you tend to get up and pee a lot in the middle of the night, like you're getting woken up or you wake up, and definitely it's a very, very strong urge. Even if you go back to sleep, there's a sign probably that the water's going right through you, that liquids are, not sticking in and getting into your cells to actually hydrate you. It's just like going through, and you don't want to be that hose. You want to be somebody who absorbs it like a sponge, so it gets into the cell, and that's the sodium and the other electrolytes that will help you do that. So you may want to take it away from your evening so you don't have a ton of liquid going in, but you also take it maybe your half a packet is what I'd start with. So you might not find you need the whole packet. But I would at least in one drink or spread throughout the afternoon, have it by late afternoon so that then you can stop drinking so much later. But everything that did go in is absorbed into the cells and it's not going to be coming out, really quickly and keeping you up at night. So if that's not you, and maybe you're doing it so that when you're exercising, you're able to stay better hydrated. Definitely pre and or during your exercise is when I would consume it. And sometimes that's one of the biggest values of having the element is you can dilute it in your water just to make it more palatable to keep you drinking regularly. And, for some of us, if it's just water, we don't remember it or we don't really enjoy it. It's more like a job. But if you're making it taste good because you like the flavor that you're drinking, that will be a huge help in helping you consume a little bit more. And also, you want to know, from your skin, if you exercise and you are going to do a lot of sweating. So, whether it was, you were in a sauna, you go outside and it's really hot and humid. And when you sweat and it dries, are you salty? Do you have a sandpaper skin and you can literally see salt rings on your hat, on a visor, on your shorts if you were on your bicycle? That telltale sign says in your sweat, you personally lose a lot of sodium. And so you need potentially more than someone else might. And so, yes, again, preparing for being out in hot, humid weather, sweating a lot. By drinking it ahead of time, even the day before starting to hydrate and during, and then just rehydrating as far as what you need to consume it, but you don't have to have as much electrolyte throughout the day. So it's just at least once in a drink throughout the day if you're not doing a lot of heavy sweating and or you don't lose a lot of salt, but if you do, you want to adjust up. So I sometimes during hot, humid weather consume two, even three, not necessarily, going out to hike in heat, but just living in the heat and sweating and exercising. I'm a heavier salt sweater, but that's just to give you kind of a, there's a lot of normals. And I don't salt a lot of my foods, so I'm not getting a lot of sodium in my food. And if you've also backed way off of salt, I think a lot of us felt really virtuous that, oh, I never use salt, and it's not necessarily good. We need the right balance. We don't need none, and we also don't need more than enough. So double check, and look at just adding little bits and see how you do. But for those of you who are concerned about getting up in the night because you're going to the bathroom and you can not be sure, am I waking up and then realizing I could go to the bathroom, or am I waking up because I urgently have to go? In that case, I would definitely try and some electrolytes later in the afternoon before dinner, and a little bit less liquid after dinner. Shanna says, regarding fish mints, 12 yoga poses. I think you said the holds were effective anywhere from 12 to 72 seconds to be effective. I usually do 30 second holds, but if I'm really short on time, or 15 seconds, just as effective. So I don't believe I said 12 to 72 seconds. You may have read that somewhere, but I don't think that came from me, because I'm reading it. It's kind of news to me. So I've always simply said what was found in the study, that it's a minute each, 30 seconds on each side. My suggestions were only where I was manipulating anything, whereas, look at the poses. I think we all know corpse pose is not really helping your bone density. So looking at the poses that actually oppose gravity and or have you in a unique position where you're putting some torque on the skeletal system is more conducive, probably, and you can pick and choose a few of them. But I don't believe I've ever said 12 to 72 seconds. So someone else might have, but that wasn't me. What's HRV? HRV is heart rate variability. So when we measure beats per minute or heart rate, it's how much does that heart beat, literally pumping out blood every minute. And HRV is the space between those beats. And heart rate variability, if it's very precise and similar, is not good. We actually want it varied. So those heartbeats occur, but ideally there are some are closer, some are further. And the more varied, the better, ironically, opposite of what you might think intuitively. Okay. Elizabeth, I get up urgently at night. So my electrolytes question is that I use salt water, but have it earlier in the day. Should I try my salted water as you suggest in the PM, or go straight to trying the Element product? And what about bone broth as a source for electrolytes? Yeah, I would not necessarily say go get a packaged product. So a couple of things you could do, also Himalayan sea salt if you wanted to do that instead. Bone broth, good. So all the electrolytes do matter. It's not just the sodium. So you want to keep in mind you want the balance of the sodium, the chloride, and the magnesium and the potassium. And it's a little bit hard to tell, and it's kind of a guess. If we just take a packet, it's already kind of pre-distributed, and the relationship between that is already there. So you're getting electrolytes from some foods. I mean, we can't avoid it, and probably the best possible place that you get your electrolytes is from foods. You can't go wrong, and you can't go too much generally in getting electrolytes from your foods, but you can get too little. And that, again, is probably where most of us go wrong. If we're, cutting corners, we're not getting a full diet because we're busy, we're stressed, or we're defaulting to the same foods over and over. There's lots of reasons why that might be true. But I would definitely suggest moving that salted water a little bit later, or split it up. I like first thing in the morning, because I think it sets up your pace for the day. So first thing in the morning to do lots of things. So I mentally and your vagus nerve and how calm will you be, and not letting scrolling, and doomsday, hit you, and getting yourself well hydrated with a little salt in the morning, but maybe you leave some of it and do it later in the afternoon too, to see if that will help. And then you know what norm is now, Elizabeth. So if you keep track of, okay, here's what I did. Keep a little log and say, how much did that help? And if you did it with, X amount of salt later in the day, look at maybe I'm just going to have a little bit more and play with your variables and just increase slightly, change the time of day without changing the amount, change the amount a little bit and play with what kind of results do I get from that? That's how I would play. Isabel, do you have any suggestions to release neck and shoulder tightness strain after an upper body workout? I tend to use or activate my neck muscles when I do upper body workout. Yes. So get a massage. I got one on Friday I was long overdue for, and I was like, I'm long overdue for this. So when you get yourself into a position where you know I hold my tension there when I'm doing it, one of the things I would really highly recommend is if you're not watching the video or you're not watching me when you're doing it, I would film yourself doing some of your upper body workout and just be sure you're watching yourself if you don't have a mirror where you're doing it. And let's take a look at your form and make sure you've released those muscles. So I would also go to, and I can't tell you the number that it is, but it's a Flipping 50 TV episode at flipping50.com. And they're all accessible free. Just you're going to have to scroll through it or search for release, relax, restore, something like that. But I talked about upper traps and neck muscles and how to release them. So there's a series that you would want to go through, but I'd want you to go through that, several times a week. And so you're getting over it. We're not just stretching afterward and letting it happen. So there's a difference between, okay, here's my reaction that I've got to have after, as opposed to let's solve the root cause of the problem and see if we can get you not firing here because we're actually doing a better job of retracting and working the rhomboids and pulling those shoulder blades toward your hips with the right muscles. And so we're not getting up here in the first place. And that's really the ultimate goal, so that you don't have to come back and ask, how do I stop that? Because now you've got data, you've got a clue. So while you're in it, absolutely, yes, go get that. So I give you stretches to go to each side directly to go down. Supporting here, so you're getting a stretch through the back of the neck, rolling so that you're letting go of the tension. And then ultimately, you'll also then want to re-strengthen the muscles that should be strong and aren't. So these are overworking potentially because your rhomboids across your shoulder blades are just not, and they will tend to kind of check out basically because they're not attached to any bony structure. So we have to make them. Pay attention by getting their attention first. So I would suggest go and look at that one. And inside the membership, Isabel, in the whole flip, and remember you have easy access to all of these. If you go into some of the early videos on upper back, neck, and shoulders, those stretches I believe are also there because I alleviated a lot of the most common problems with your ankles or your knees and or upper back and shoulders prior to that program starting so that you're in the best possible position before you begin the strength training as it is. So you can go into the whole flip as opposed to watching that Flipping 50 TV episode, or you can do both depending if you want to do a little research, but then you'll have that video and you could favorite it so that you can come back and watch that. Jerry said, is there a cheaper version of the power plate that you'd recommend? There's not, but I know several of you members have alternatives to the power plate. So I can only speak to the one that I use and got that one because I did my research and homework and wanted to use it. But for those of you who've looked and you have something else, either smaller and or lighter, an alternative. So feel free, anybody, to put it here. And Jerry, I would also recommend going to the community and ask them who's got an alternative to it. And I think you'll get some answers there too. Anybody else have a question? I'm going to scroll a little bit and make sure I've gotten all of you. Lacey, you asked the HRV question. What device are you using? I just got a Ringcon Gen 2 Smart Ring. Okay. So I would consult with that, see what they say. And far as what are good scores, and hopefully they'll give you not just numbers, but maybe they're gamifying it with colors as well. Excuse me. Anybody else want to ask a question? Or we will do a quick wrap. So Lori's offering something, Jerry, for a whole body vibration. I use the Life Pro Rumblex 4D Plus. It goes up to 40 hertz, and other models, brands I looked at didn't get past 20 hertz or didn't advertise that info. Shanna says, is there a way to test VO2 without going to a lab? There is well, for any exercise mode, there are field tests that will not give you a VO2 max number, but will test your cardiovascular fitness. Yes. So inside of the scorecard, a really easy one, just doing a mile walk and looking at your time. So it's a cardiovascular test. And again, it's not VO2. To actually measure VO2, volume of oxygen consumed, you got to measure the volume going in and the volume coming out. So you got to go to a lab to do that. I hope you had a great birthday. Thank you. Whoops. Lori, also for bone density, you only need 25. Yeah, the ideal ranges are 20 to 30. So 20, 25, or 30. Anybody else who want to jump in? Going, gone. I'll give you one last roundup. And I know for some of you, depending Monday, the day after Easter, maybe a holiday will be here. So if you do have questions, come back. Isabel said, I don't feel good if I eat breakfast before working out. When is the latest I can delay breakfast? So that's a complicated question. You don't have to have breakfast before you work out. So we're just suggesting you have a small snack to put calories and fuel in to take your body out of that overnight slept, nothing in my system place. So you're having a little something, not breakfast. So this is, a pre-exercise is slightly different. So there is, your delaying of breakfast is totally up to you. And the question would come back to what results are you getting now with the things that you're doing? And is it working? So, if body composition, lean muscle mass, energy, libido, sleep, if those things are not going in the direction that you want them to, doing what you're doing now, and that's been in place for a while, that's when I would look at let's change it. Right. So I think you don't fix it if it's not broken. Your energy is great. Your muscle mass is great. Your body composition, your body fat percent is great. Your bone density is good. Firing on all cylinders and you're sleeping great. Kind of hard to compete with that. Why would we change that? But if those results are not what you're getting, then it would be let's change it and see how you feel. Let's change it and see if we, and 2 months, do a dedicated change. And now, what results are we getting? So, some of the things that you might want to see change wouldn't change immediately, but ideally, you're going to start seeing changes there as well. So, that's when I would look at, what do you want to do? So generally, if you're working out intensely, you want to eat. If you have not eaten, you want to eat immediately after, immediately, right? Because you've fasted overnight. Now you've also worked out. You're a woman in midlife. Those are three strikes that put you into kind of a, muscle is not at the optimal right now. We're not really nurturing it. And so we want to eat immediately after we've given it another hit of, overnight in decline of hormones. We want to eat and feed it and fuel. So kind of depends on the timing of your whole day, all inclusive. Linda said, I used my Sleep Number bed for HRV last night. Sleep score was 46, average 57. How do I increase it? What device do you recommend for vacation testing? What do you mean by vacation testing? So if you have some kind of wearable device like a Fitbit or an activity watch, almost all of them now will do some kind of HRV, even lately. But, sometimes the best way is just what's my score right now? Did I wake rested on a 0 to 4 scale? Where is that? And, did I sleep restfully all night or was I up and down? So don't forget, trust your body, trust your own response as well. And so I have a Sleep Number bed too. I don't lean into that very often. Be curious about doing that again. I just don't use the app very much. If you have an explanation, Linda, on what device do I recommend for vacation testing, let me know that. Lori said, I did workout 11 of lifted one today. And whoops, sorry, we've got things scrolling up. Only first three sequences. Okay. Is it advisable to combine sequence 4 and 5, smaller muscle groups, with workout 8, only 21 minutes, or should I wait 72 hours for sequence 4 and 5 and another 72 for workout 8? I would just call it a day and just don't do them. Yeah, I would just leave them alone and just carry on. I mean, you could do them and not knowing what's in them. I don't know if they're major muscle groups, but you said smaller muscle groups. So I wouldn't put a whole day in there between then doing a heavier workout unless you're experiencing some fatigue and feel like you need lighter workouts for a while to pace that. But otherwise, I would just leave them alone and then move on. And you did the best you could with maybe the time or the energy that you had today, and then just skip ahead and go on to the next workout. You have an iWatch. Okay, great. There you go. Lori said, I use the LifePro. You got that one. Okay. Okay. Best Christmas present since my sewing machine. That is too funny. Sequence 4 or 5, mostly biceps and triceps. So I would not waste your, workout day on doing that. I would go ahead and do workout 8 if you have energy afterward and you need to. But remember, the rule of thumb is we don't have to make up a workout. We can't necessarily double down, and there's nothing wrong with missing the biceps and triceps. You don't get great biceps and triceps from doing great biceps and triceps. You get great biceps and triceps from doing your chest and your back exercises with heavier weights. So you can leave it out and no harm, no foul, but I would, not do a day of only bicep triceps and then wait 72 hours. You don't need to do that for sure. Okay, you're welcome. Okay, great. Awesome. Congrats. All right, I think we got everybody's question in. Thank you so much, everybody, for staying to the end. Look forward to hearing how Easter goes for you. Good luck with the bunny. You are welcome. Have a great evening, everybody.